Good afternoon to all kilometers. Now we will continue with our afternoon session. Our afternoon session started at 1:30, which is now. So we will have a very simple puja, which is just respect to Triple Gem. Then after that, I'm supposed to brief you on the balance of the essential Dhamma. Most of it we have covered, except maybe devotional practice, the importance of devotional practice. Okay. Now we just pay respect to the Dhamma Sangha.
Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghaṃ namāmi.
Okay. You can be seated. Yeah. We have covered most of the essential Dhamma, the five spiritual faculties. The five mental hindrance. Then all the other essential Dhamma, I will now slowly cover them. We have this four right effort within the four unknowable eightfold path. So this one, I will teach you today. The four right effort plus the five ways to overcome wrong thought or unwholesome thought. Five daily contemplation we have done. Three evil roots we have done. Five aggregate of form and mind we have done. Dependent origination later. We will go through it in the Heart Sutta text. Then Four Noble Truth, I think I have covered. Then the Four Foundation of Mindfulness also is in the Heart Sutta note. Seven Factor Enlightenment we have covered. The importance of devotional practice or puja. So this one I will cover together the four right effort and five ways to overcome unwholesome thought or wrong thought. Okay. We start with importance of devotional practice. What are devotional practice? Is to practice all the puja that Sakyamuni Buddha has recommended. Why does he ask us to do pre-puja before we start any Dhamma session? Then, develop the spiritual faculty, yes, very good. So this pre-puja and post-puja can help you develop the spiritual faculty and also understand the important understanding of what constitutes the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha. Then it also based on the right view with regards to law of karma advise you to keep your precept. That's why we renew our precept. Then we take refuge. Why do we do that? That's why all this has to be done with understanding. Otherwise you come for meditation class, Dhamma class, you just become gullible. I just now one sister came and she discussed with me. Luckily she asked, otherwise she will be caught. She
You say she's new, huh? Of course, first time attending the retreat. She came to my Thursday class before. Then I say, Brother Teo, when I meditate, I got this, what they call, experience, is it? Sometimes when I meditate, is it, my mind can become calm, quite calm. Then the usual thing, I cannot feel my body, I cannot feel my leg, I cannot feel my hand. So I say, you tell me all this, what for? Understand? You don't want to find out why you meditate. Then he said, because people just teach me like that, then I follow. This is the first time I heard Brother Teo talk about understanding what is meditation. You must meditate with understanding. Then I said, have you read the blue book? Oh, he said, read one time. Then, do you do notes? Or write down on a piece of paper what have you understood? Otherwise, you will never progress, understand or not? And I think many people are, initially when you don't have the faith and don't understand, you find it very difficult to penetrate, to understand. So what I advise her is very simple. I said, now we go back. What was it that I teach you, I share with you? Remember the first day? You must understand what is meditation. Otherwise, you become gullible. Teach me how to meditate. It's just like I answer that lady, remember? You have a problem, you come and see me. Brother Teo, please help me with my problem. Then I gullible tell you, meditate, your problem gone. I didn't even want to find out what her problem is. She didn't even know what her problem is. Then the standard answer, you meditate, you become enlightened, your problem gone. Cannot. You become enlightened, of course, all your problem gone. But the problem is, if you have a problem, you first of all must understand what the problem is, isn't it? Then only you can attend to it, isn't it? It's just like you want to meditate, you must know what is meditation, isn't it? Then only you can go about doing it, isn't it? True or not? Huh? So don't be gullible next time people ask you to do this, do that. That's why, like our brother there, ask question. Ben Pine say, you understand? Or he cannot explain to you, then why you become gullible? Why do you ask me to chant all this puja? Ask. Then you learn, understand? Or? So coming back to the meditation first, but this one will teach you many things. So I say, what have you learned? What did the Buddha say? He said, when I meditate, initially a lot of thought, is it a lot of thinking. So the first question he asked me is, but do you mean when I meditate, don't think? Correct or not? What do you think that question and the answer? She said, Brother, you mean silent the mind means don't think. Is that the way to meditate? What is your understanding? You cannot don't think, understand? When you are heedless with the mental hindrance, the thought will come. That's why I say, you only know that you have a lot of thought because at least in the retreat, when you try to silence, you cannot silence, then you realize this one come out. The heedless thinking. Why? Because in your daily life, you are all the time heedless, creating mental hindrance until it becomes so habitual. Then when you come here, you try to sit and meditate, you cannot because you don't know what you are doing. And then you complain. Then sometime after you persevere for a while, then it becomes peaceful and quiet. Sure, everything is impermanent, correct? No matter how miserable you are in meditation, finally you persevere long enough, you will have some calmness, some peacefulness. Especially in the retreat, you become very peaceful very fast. So all this, to me, is not meditation. To understand meditation is to inquire, why am I not peaceful? How come I have thought, I think a lot, when I want to be peaceful, I cannot. Means what? This mind don't listen to you, understand? That's why it's anatta, not you. if it listen to you, means what? You can use it as a, it become a tool that serve you well. That's why you must train, like you train the dog, understand? You think the dog you buy, he will listen to you. You have to train the dog. Then what is the thing that tempt the dog? Food and scold, cane. So if he don't listen, whack you. Then he still don't understand what you are. Then you say, sit. He don't understand. Then you squat down. Then he look at you. Then he say, sit. Where he saw you squat down. So he also squat down. You say, good. Then you feed him something. Next time you say, sit. He will sit already. So your mind is the same. You have to develop the wisdom to tell the mind. If you are heedless and do all those things, you suffer. You become miserable. This is the right view. This is the teaching. This is the Dhamma. So the mind will understand. Understand? There is no human being in this world choose to be unhappy, choose to be miserable, and choose to suffer. Agree with me or not? You hold the lie to your own life destiny, to be happy or to be unhappy or miserable is your choice. Don't tell me you don't know how to choose to be happy. But why are they not happy? Full of suffering. You mean they don't know how to choose? What is your answer? It's not to say they don't know how to choose. They don't know this Dhamma, understand? They don't have this understanding. That's why they become gullible. They continue to repeat what they do. They are heedless. They go against the nature's law. Then they get themselves entangled. So the moment you understand all this, then you will know how to make a difference to your life. Understand? Nobody in this world choose to suffer and become miserable like what they have gone through. It's because they don't have this teaching. That's why I say, as a true Buddhist, you are very blessed because you have such a great teacher, Sakyamuni Buddha, who can teach you this teaching, and free, no need to charge. But you don't treasure it, you don't cherish it. You take for granted. What is all this nonsense? Suffering, suffering, suffering. Everything is about suffering. I want to enjoy life. That's why you never look at it. But he never say everything is suffering. He never say life is suffering. He said there is a noble truth that talk about suffering. You don't have this teaching, this wisdom. You confront life without this understanding. Suffering is a reality. Then you cannot go. This is the teaching. Then when you understand this, it's very easy to choose that. Dhammapada was 1 and 2 we have gone through. You want to continue to be heedless and have all the suffering, then by all means, your choice. If I were you, I would train myself to be mindful, heedful, understand the evil root, then my mental intention, then I take care of karma, karma take care of me, my life, then I become beautiful. And this is how you become serious and change. Understand? So when you understand, nobody wants to become like that. It's because living being, due to ignorance, like the Buddha said, they fall, they become, and then they suffer. So you don't understand this essence of his teaching, the Four Noble Truths. You cannot come out of it. That's why I call it the secret of life. So when you understand all this idea, you must be serious. Because this is your life. You are not serious means you are going back the old way, continue to be heedless in the midst of life. And the Buddha stated very clearly, Dhammapada verse 21, the heedless are as if dead, spiritually dead. You don't stand a chance. If you only go to retreat and peaceful when you are in the retreat or in the meditative state, out of retreat, whole day, throughout the day, you are heedless. That's why you are dead for the rest of the time. Even when you are retreat, you are not heedful. You are more peaceful, calm. And that is also not really the heedfulness that the Buddha talked about. That's why you are still as if dead. So when you understand all this, meditation become very simple. The Buddha stressed on heedfulness. Why am I not peaceful? The Buddha explained, because the five mental hindrance. So what must you do when you know it is the mental hindrance? The Buddha said, don't fight, don't suppress, don't control, don't do anything. Let it be. Understand it. Because I don't have the opposite five spiritual faculty, that's why the hindrance become powerful. Can follow or not? And this spiritual faculty are spiritual mind state that can understand spiritual teaching. That's why without it, you will be heedless. Because without it, you don't have faith. Your mind not composed, not peaceful. Then you don't have that virya, you can become sleepy, the hindrance arise. Then without sati, you think a lot, you become heedless. When there is sati, there is no thought. You are peaceful, you are with the moment, you are silent. Then with samadhi, you can see things as they are. Then you can understand the truth, the reality. Then wisdom arises. That's how the five spiritual faculty counter all the hindrance. Then you're no longer deluded. Wisdom will straighten your view. You will not stir your mind. You will not react. So sensual desire and evil cannot arise. When you are aware without thought, without words, there is no craving. When there is samadhi, it does not waver, does not stir. That's why it can be as it is, sitting as they are, with wisdom and understanding. It will awaken. Then that wisdom will free your mind. You don't have doubt anymore, where the faith will make you peaceful. So the main focus is to cultivate this five spiritual faculty. That's why puja come in. Okay? You chant salutation to the Buddha. Why? Because you want to understand who the Buddha is. That's why the nine great virtues, iti peso, bhagava, arahang, then we got the English translation. Such indeed is the worthy one, the blessed one, the fully enlightened one. He's not only enlightened, he's fully enlightened. That's why your faith in him will be very strong. Fully enlightened means what? He is the wisest of all beings that is ever born. Then he is blessed with wisdom and virtue. He is the most virtuous living being ever born. And he is the teacher of man and God. As a guide to train living beings to become enlightened, he is without comparison. When you understand all this, then he is the knower of the world. Anything in this world, universe that can be known, he knows, he understands. So when you see such a great being with such great quality arise in this world out of love and compassion for living being, and you somehow don't have gratitude and respect for him, for having him as your guide and your teacher, I don't know what type of mind you have. To me, I have very strong faith and gratitude in him. I thank him profoundly, profusely for what he has given the world, including my nature. There is so much joy in getting to know who he is. That's why this faith becomes unshakable, spiritual faculty. Then when I know his teaching is so beautiful, can make people enlightened and free the mind and free from all suffering, what must I do? I will strive on with heedfulness, following his advice, correct or not? I will not waste my time on other things. Other things, to me, not real, temporary. All my wealth will not help me when I fall sick. Asana, when I'm about to die, because I still got fear, I don't know what death is, who died, what died also, I don't understand. So what for with all the wealth, material? Not to mean that they don't mean anything, they mean something, but that is not all. Asana, life is not just about money. Asana, when you spend almost 80-90% of your life to look for money, to make money, thinking that when you have money, you will be happy. But by the time you realize, you already destroy your health. And I said, I got one colleague, that was the best. He was that time 48 years old. He was in the construction line with me. I was the senior manager in the firm. Then he was in charge of one project, North South Highway. Wow, he was so stressed out until in the site, kena bamboo by the client, the consultant. Then come back, the boss also bamboo him. Then meeting, subcon also don't listen to him. Quarrel with him. Staff also don't listen to him. Wow, he was at the point of heart attack, almost stressed out. Then he entered hospital. Then I took over his job and helped him sort out everything. I not only helped him turn around the project, I helped the company to claim extra $40 million out of that project through legitimate means. Then you know what he told me after that? He came and thanked me out of the hospital. He said, "Mr. Teo, what you say is correct. I very stupid." Yeah. He was working for the company since the graduation until the company listed. No. He said in Cantonese, "Sengge ching chun pei so hoi." And what he get? All the stress, everything. When he was 48 years old, he got 3 children, all very young. And everyone depend on him. That's why he, after that, he wake up. He said, "Gao," he said, "don't want to pop man." He said, "Use the life to exchange for this money, not worth it." So he take it slowly. Now he do, based on his understanding. If I can cope, I do. Cannot, don't force me. Last time, under pressure, scared of losing the job, all those things. So this is life. This is what you should develop understanding. Money is not everything. You need to have wisdom, understanding. So that's why you will strive on with heedfulness and just focus on the cultivation. Then when you do that, sati will come. Mindfulness, the third spiritual faculty, will come. Then when you stabilize it into daily mindfulness, it will accumulate into pasati and develop samadhi. That's how wisdom come to be. And when the spiritual faculty are there, the hindrance is gone. But I told her, in between, you don't have this spiritual faculty yet because you didn't do all these things. So what must you do? You must develop the understanding. There's a phase one of Dhamma is to... What is the phase one of Dhamma? Pariyati. Study the teaching, anasana. Learning of the teaching. That's why you must understand what the Buddha teach. Then I say the blue book, you read, and like a storybook after that, put it back into the shell. What do you learn? That's why I say 30 years from now, you will still ask me the same question. But I meditate how? Thought a lot. Then when I become very calm, my leg disappear, my body disappear, I cannot perceive. But these are the things that people tell you, wow, very good, you reach the formless state of mind. To me, this is not important. Understand? You don't even know what you are doing in the name of meditation. I ask, are you training your mind to have the spiritual faculty? Are you training the mind to be mindful, to be heedful? She said, "Nobody teach me." And now, with the blue book, read one time already, someone say nobody teach him or her. Means what? You are not serious. That's why I say you must write down like Mimi. Take out a sheet of paper. What have Brother Teo shared with me? How can I develop the understanding? So if I know that this is the one that caused hindrance, I write down mental hindrance. Don't fight. These are your notes, anasana, that it remind you. Don't suppress, don't control. Cultivate the opposite five. Start with puja. Then I will explain puja after this. Then after that, you write down. Before the spiritual faculty is there, the hindrance is there, what must I do? The blue book say, what must you do? What must you do? If you are still heedless, think a lot, because your spiritual faculty not cultivated yet, what must you do? Do more bowing can, but there is one. To decondition your heedless thinking. Mind sweeping method combined with metta. Do that. Because when you just feel relaxed, you don't think. That's why you will decondition your heedless thinking. So when you do that, until it stabilizes, what happens? There is a new conditioning. Means now you condition your mind to feel, not to think. That's how you feel. Relax. When you relax, your stress all gone. Your negative mind state all gone. Then you combine with metta, loving kindness. So you develop inner peace through the mind sweeping method, leading to inner well-being. That's how you radiate love and metta to yourself. Radiate a radiant smile. Then you relax. Then you wish yourself, starting with yourself, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. This is still thought-based, but it will bring out the feeling in you. the happy mind, the metta. Later on, as you go beyond parroting, you develop understanding, then your faith stronger. Then when you radiate metta, it's no more words. It's from the heart, understand? Initially, you will it to that person or to yourself. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well. And then you feel it. The feeling is really there. Understand? The feeling is a form of mind. Will it. Then it's there. And that is the second level. That metta you really feel. The well-being and the happiness in you. Then may it be free from all form of suffering, both physical and mental suffering. So you feel yourself, no physical suffering, no mental suffering. This is what you wish for your own form and mind. Then later on you extend to your loved one. Then you radiate more and more of this mind state, which is virtue, loving kindness. And this will reverse your envy, jealousy, hatred and all those things, because you have love. Then after that, you move on. You realize this mind become quiet, peaceful. Develop the deconditioned or the heedless thinking, it become quiet. Then this is silent. This is sati. I have to stabilize this. Understand? I got inner peace, inner well-being, but I must stabilize it. Then what you do? You do anapanasati, anasana, anchor it to be mindful of the in and out breath. First category of cultivation of kaya nupasana. Or you can use any skillful mean, like one girl chanting. In Thailand, the tradition is buddho, 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 anasana. No different, same, you can use. It's just a skillful mean to anchor your mind, to train your mind. But they don't tell you. They say, do this, anasana, note this. But they don't explain to you. These are only skillful means. Method and technique and meditation object are skillful means to anchor your mind, to train your mind, to stabilize it. They have to do that because they don't have this understanding. They don't know how to cultivate spiritual faculty. They don't even know that the hindrances are there because they lack spiritual faculty. So without this understanding, you cannot progress. You will go and do concentration, one-pointedness, absorption, so that you suppress all these hindrances. Or then you say, no more mental hindrance, like you enlightened. That's how they become gullible. So you must write all this down. Then remind yourself, this is what I must do in the meditation. And then you become very focused. Then you progress very fast. Understand? Can follow? Huh? Can you understand? No one understand or not. Can you understand? If you cannot, you better let me know. We can spend some time on this because I realize this is important. Year in, year out, many, many of these cultivators, especially those who didn't attend my class or new one, I realize all asking this type of question. Then I got a group of Kayamita who went to recently, I think SBS, is it? Is it SBS? Typing on? SBS, I also don't know what that place do. I never been there before. But they come back and tell me, he said, brother, two of you were so lucky. I said, why? He said, we attended the retreat, and all things. He said, we were so shocked, we thought we were very new. These people are supposed to be very, very experienced and long time meditation. But the question they asked was still all those questions. That's why they realize, luckily, otherwise they will become like them. So we are not here to say anything negative about what people do, because they are just the way they are. With their understanding, they will cultivate that way. That's why I say, if you do that without understanding, you cannot progress. You are stuck in thought. Then you become gullible. Then all these things like very important to you. Wow, I cannot feel my leg, I cannot feel my arm, I cannot feel my body. I have the formless rhyme consciousness. I am in the arupa state. So what? Do you have wisdom? Do you understand what is going on? Do you understand the Noble Eightfold Path teaching? The Four Noble Truths. You are still heedless like before when you are out of the meditation. Even in the meditation, you have a calm mind, collected mind. So what? That is a conditioned state. To me, that is not meditation. You cannot develop wisdom. Your spiritual faculty are not there. Your seven factor enlightenment are not there. And you say this is fantastic meditation. Then they confirm that you have vajnana, vajnana, vajnana. That is more gullible. Unless you really have them, then I rejoice. That is beautiful. But not many can have that. So writing it down is very important to reconfirm your understanding of what is being written. Even when I study in the uni and the school, same. I must close my textbook and write it down without referring to the textbook. If I cannot write it down and express it through understanding, means I don't understand the topic. I am only memorizing the formula, no use. Like a lot of people study Dhamma, a lot of Dhamma, but don't understand how it come about. They cannot link all the essential teaching. They are all connected. How it start from right view, then everything fall into place. But if nobody explain to you, you cannot understand. Because this is very abstract, I don't blame people. This teaching is not easy to come by. You don't have someone who has the understanding through their past cultivation. I tell you, this life is very difficult to develop all this understanding unless you have the special affinity, the Triple Gem. That's why we take refuge. Otherwise, you cannot meet the Triple Gem. So that is meditation part. Huh? Understood? Huh? Then after you have developed the spiritual faculty, technically, you don't need a meditation object. You don't need a method and a technique because your mind is already peaceful, silent, because there is faith, composed, calm. Then virya, strive on the heedfulness. Then sati come. When sati come, you are mindful, aware, without thought. That's why no more problem. Your mind can be silent. You want it to be silent? Silent. You are trained already. That is in samadhi. In the midst of light, it does not stir. It's collected. It does not waver. Then you will have the condition to keep on understanding things. Whatever you read, whatever you come into contact with, the Dhamma is there. You keep on understanding. That's why panya, wisdom, keep on rising. Then the factor of enlightenment, you keep on seeing them. Then you can investigate Dhamma. Then pity is always there. That's why there's a lot of joy. Then the mind is very calm, very still, very silent. But it's in a natural state, not in samadhi. What I mean is apana samadhi, not in concentration. So this is what Dhamma is all about. Meditation is about. When you understand, it becomes easy. You can do it. Then coming back to puja. Huh? First, we chant the salutation to understand who the Buddha is and the teaching. Huh? That one I covered. So you develop the faith, then it will drive you because it is so important to you. Then what is the next thing you do in puja? You take refuge. You say, Buddhang saranang gacchami. Why you take refuge? Because in the Dhammapada verse, the Buddha said very clearly, he said, there is no refuge safe except in the Triple Gem. Because only within the Triple Gem you can find this teaching of his, the Four Noble Truth. Apart from the Triple Gem, there is no Four Noble Truth. So he said, not even in the mountain or in the religious way place is refuge safe. The only refuge safe is within the Triple Gem. That's why Triple Gem is very important. They are the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Sangha are the enlightened disciples of the Buddha. Because they are enlightened disciples, they have the teaching. The Buddha sure have the teaching because he's fully enlightened. Then the Dhamma is the teaching. So you take refuge in these three, you cultivate special affinity because you determine through your very sincere mind with the faith to take refuge with the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Then wherever there is condition for you to arise, if there is the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, this refuge will connect you straight away. That's why you are not lucky when you have the condition to meet up with those Triple Gem. It's because of your past. You have affinity. But if you let the affinity slip by, it's your choice because you have a lot of mixed karma. So all this is up to the individual. So refuge, I explained already. When you take refuge, it will connect you, develop affinity. Then you renew your precept. Why? Out of love for you, out of compassion for you, the Buddha teach you to avoid evil so that your karma will not fall, so that your life will be more conducive. When you keep your precept, means what? is the source of happiness, peacefulness, and spiritual wealth. So these three are so important for meditation. If you don't have the peacefulness of mind, you cannot meditate. That's why the Buddha said you must start with sila, then only samadhi and panya. Without sila, there is no peacefulness of mind. Without sila, there is no sukha or happiness, true happiness. Then without sila, there is no merits and blessing to actually bring about good condition for you to meditate, to cultivate, to have the good life. Then you cannot develop materialistic wealth, spiritual wealth. That's why precept is a source of true spiritual wealth, because when you keep precept, when you go to temple, when you make offering, generosity, and all those things to the monks or to the spiritual people, like Kayamitas or those who have the Dhamma, then this generosity will receive its appropriate response. Then the monk will rejoice, send you blessing. They say they chant for you the blessing. Finally, they bless you Ayu, Wana, Sukang, Palang, the four types of blessing that every living being looking forward to. Ayu is long life. Wana is good complexion. Sukang is joy or happiness in life. Palang is strength, spiritual strength and physical strength. So all this is something that you will receive. Then they speak the Dhamma to you. They share the Dhamma with you. And you have the spiritual faculty to receive that. That's why precept is a source of spiritual wealth. Because from there, samadhi kick in. Then you have the meditation. That's why sila samadhi leading to wisdom, panya. And there is another way for panya. Then before sila, the Buddha also say there is another category of Dhamma. Is it? Dana, sila, bhavana. And these are the same, except he add dana. Dana means generosity. You must have this to arise the condition for you to keep the precept and develop the meditation. Bhavana is meditation. So bhavana is samadhi and panya. So the Buddha is so wise, he's seeking it out for you. That's why you must have this quality of mind. Then after that, you rejoice. Then closing puja, what you do? You share merits, transfer merits. Then you listen to Dhamma in between. You straighten your view. Then you do your duty. You provide service, help out in the community and other things. All these are meritorious action, 10 meritorious action. That's why it will give for a lot of merits. So when you keep your precept, it's a meritorious action. When you make offering, generosity, dana, is a meritorious action. Then when you do meditation, it's a meritorious action. Even when you radiate metta, it's generosity, giving, loving kindness. So all these are meritorious action, brings about great merits and blessing to you and your nature. So when you understand the importance of puja and all this training that the Buddha has put in place, you will rejoice and have a lot of gratitude and faith in him. Then he teach you how to pay respect. Why you pay respect? You know respect got a lot of benefit. What benefit do you have when you pay respect? Four things grow. That is the first benefit. Ayu, wana, sukang, palang. When you pay respect to the worthy one, the elder, then the field of merit is immeasurable. That is the first benefit. Then what else? It's a meritorious action, is it? That's why you receive merit, is it? That's why the merit that you do is immeasurable if it's to a arya. Then the other one is like the sister said, humility. You exercise humility. How many people can pay respect to people? The ego is so high, understand? Well, why must I pay respect to you? Who the hell are you? You are just a lay person. You don't have any title. They want to see title and the Dato' Tan Sri, they pay respect. But then, why do you pay respect? Because you look at the title, understand? But you see also a lot of Dato' Tan Sri also going to court, understand? Tun also go to court, understand? So why you pay respect to people who go to court? So it's all understanding. That's why don't be gullible. Don't look at the external. When you identify with form, you get into trouble. And that leads me to share one thing. Just now in the room, I heard, I think the ladies, they were washing toilet, I don't know what. Then I heard somebody say, how to see beyond form. Isn't it? Who was it? I heard Mi Feng's voice trying to advise somebody. But this is important. Reason why I want to raise it, I want to teach that person. Was he talking to you? Not you, somebody else. Because that person don't know how to see form. Oh, he's talking to you. Oh, Brother Danny, good. Oh, then he says, see beyond form. So, no offense to the lady. In the lady toilet, accidentally went in. Sorry, I'm practicing how to see beyond form. I remember one incident during my varsity day. In the first college, we play badminton. So, we got no place to change. Because that first college, the hall, don't have changing room. Then you know what they do. They say, assume no girls. They straight away strip and change. Then, in the midst of doing, one group of lady came in. They also want to play badminton. Not badminton, badminton. So all this, when you understand, you will develop the understanding. How do you see form and how do you see beyond form? Because this part, I think a lot of people miss out when I explain. You remember I said, when you identify with this form, what happened? You start to divide, isn't it? Because you identify with this form, like you look at me, you will say Chinese, isn't it? Uncle, white hair already. Okay? Then, this form also tell you I'm a male, understand or not? Gender differentiation. So because of this, we discriminate, understand or not? Oh. Then, when you are able to actually see clearly that this one don't define my understanding and my nature, understand? This is just external form, element only, understand not? That's why the Buddha said this one, not you. And this one is karmically conditioned out. Karmically conditioned out. That's why the Buddha say, it is not a permanent unchanging entity, understand not? That's why he said this is impermanent, dependent originating, condition arising. So externally already condition arising, not you. Why do you identify? Why do you cling and say this is me, this is I? Then you identify others the same. That's why there is race discrimination, understand not? Chinese, Malay, Indian, that's why Malaysia got problem. Fight. They talk about harmony, Muhibah, since the young day I go to school. And now more divided. How come? Well, identification with form. Then identification with your race, your ideology, your bangsa, and all those things. That doesn't define who you are, understand not? And because of this delusion, we call it form delusion. You are deluded by form. That's why you cannot see form. You cannot see beyond form. You cannot understand form. That's why form has got a lot of meaning. That's why you cling, you grasp. And through thought, you create words, concept, and ideology to divide. That's why words come in the form of, word divide come in the form of gender, race, nationality, and you divide. Understand? Old, young, youth, or beautiful, ugly, uncle, auntie, pretty lady, young man, handsome guy. Then my wife last time I go to market, they say Langloy. Wow. They say 50 something, still people call her Langloy. Yeah, she dyed her hair. So all this is identification with form. So if I can see form, and I realize it is unreal, why? Because condition arising, understand? Not a permanent and changing entity. So if I know this is not me, unreal, then why do I identify? Then I have to learn to see wisely. That's why I will see beyond form. See beyond form means what? Not like in the toilet, huh? Yeah, you want to justify. See beyond form means I don't identify this form. Then I realize there is a mind. Understand that? Each and every one of us, when we don't look at the form, we don't identify, then we are not so much different, is it? Then we look at the mind. You have a mind, I have a mind, everybody has a mind, correct or not? True or not? So if you have a mind, there is no more gender, understand not? No more race and all those things, no more nationality, no more of all those arguments and problems, understand not? Then no more lady and man, discrimination. Only. So when you look at the mind, then we are neutral. But then we are still different. Why? You have your views, your belief system. I have my views, I have my belief system. That's why I still argue, understand? No? Christian, Buddhist, Muslim, and all those Hinduism, the various type of ism, all the ism, is all the division created by thought. That's why the Buddha said, you attach to sankhara, you cling, you suffer. Because this one is still condition arising, not you. So this one, if you hold on to your views and opinion, you are still different. Because your ideology will make you different. Your personality and character will make you different. Then they say, wow, this guy violent, or this guy Muslim, IS, or what? Then you look at them, you got fear already. Oh, I got bomb one. And I said, oh. You go through airport also, you scared to stand near. So all this is your view and your opinion. Then when you cannot see beyond mind and the unreality of mind you attach, you will still argue. There will still be conflict. Understand not? Can follow. Then when you see beyond the form and the mind, because you know that these are all conditions arising, not real, not a permanent engine, and then what you see? The true mind, the true nature, got no words. He know you, he know me. Then our nature is the oneness, all the same. That's why all of humanity is one, you are no different. But because you identify the form and the mind, you become different. That's why there is no more love. True love, true compassion, and true wisdom come from that nature that can have the direct seeing to understand that we are, in fact, one. That's why the Maya teaching, they know all is one, one is all. You understand that concept or not? Because of you, I am what I am. Because of me, you are what you are. Understand? Not? Can follow? Not? Cannot follow? Put up the hand. Ah, okay. At least I know how they cannot follow. Now I ask you a very simple thing. You may think you are very insignificant. Right? In this universe, you are only one of the billion and billion and billion of living beings. Right? But do you know how long have you existed? You have existed for eons and eons and eons. The Buddha said, the amount of tears you have shed is more than the four oceans in this planet. So you know you have lived for how long. Eh? Shed tears now, not urine. No. Urine can fill up the ocean over a long time. You cry with the tears. No. One life, how much tears can you collect? And he said, you have been shedding this tear, which is more than the four oceans in this universe. Which means you existed very long. No. So this universe without you will not be what it is today. Understand? No? So you can tell the rich guy, the billionaire, without me, you cannot be what you are. So, no. So don't be, they use the word, don't be cocky. So all these things, when you understand, you just laugh. But people cannot understand. They say, hey, my success got nothing to do with you. No. You understand not? Where they think they are very great. So, yeah, they say through their own hard work, no, they become what they are. Because they don't understand this universality of condition arising. The universe is what it is today because of the segmented line, that you have come and gone. Any of this segment missing, the universe is not what it is today. Understand? If any of you don't exist, a lot of this condition no more. The family that you have or no more. Then because of this break, all the future descendants and all those also don't exist. Understand? Then if you don't arise in future, you won't influence anybody too. So when you understand that we are all one, interconnected, from the source we came, that's our oneness. You are not apart from each other. That's why when you destroy nature, you destroy yourself. Where you are part of nature, understand that? From nature you come, to nature you will return. So when you understand all this, the universality of the Dhamma, you become very different. You no longer selfish. You no longer hold on to the ego. You no longer deluded by all the form that you see. Not only your own physical form. You remember I shared with you all the Diamond Sutta? The most difficult nut to crack is which one? Sakayaditi, self-delusion. When you can crack that nut and awaken to it, then all the other, no mark of the living being become very easy. If you don't exist, how can other living beings exist? They only form a mind with the bundle of memory and conditioning. That's what you are. You don't think you are special. You are just the bundle of memory and its conditioning, and you believe you are Chinese because you are born in a Chinese family. And you believe you are Buddhist because you think you take refuge and keep preserve, and you believe in the Buddha's teaching. So all this, your conditioning, your belief system, your tradition, mold you, and you become identified with the name they give you. Then you go out to work. They give you a title, a designation. Oh, you are an engineer, you are an accountant, you are a doctor, or you are a clerk, or manager, or senior manager. So, is that you? You identify because the memory and the conditioning make you believe you are that. But when you have the Dhamma, you realize this form of mind is not you. But you cannot deny that it is real. Understand? In the existential world sense, in the conditioned world sense, because the form of mind exists in the conditioned world. It is as real as it can be. Your law of karma manifests. And this one really exists. But it is not a permanent, unchanging entity. Not you, understand or not? Where your nature is much, much bigger than this. This is just one segment that come. You can understand, huh? If this life, let's say you human being, next life Deva, oh, you say, I Deva. Then Brahma, Then I say, next life dog. Cannot be, still, how can I be that dog? Then what I'm trying to share with you is, every life you take birth, sometimes hell being also possible. You have been born into this universe for umpteen time, maybe billions of lives. Every segment you come, which one is you? Which one is you? That dog you don't want. That hell being you don't want. You want to be human being. You want to be devas. You cannot deny that they are part of your karmic conditioning, the segmented life. So if every segment that you come is you, then you are very confused, understand? Then who are you? What are you? The animal also you. The hell being also you. Then who are you? What are you? That's why the Buddha very wise. He said, all these are karmically conditioned, vehicle and tool for me to use and live. And I'm not deluded by it. That's how the Dhamma awakens you. Can follow? Okay, that one finished. What else? I haven't finished. First one is Ayu Wano Sukang Palang. It's in the note, don't have to look for it. Later on, we will cover. Means 14 growths, the Buddha said, when you pay respect to elders and worthy ones. First is long life, ayu, one eye is fair complexion, then you have joy, happiness, sukhang. Then palang is strength, physical and mental strength, or spiritual strength. Then you exercise your body, anasana, when you pay respect. You develop merits, anasana. There is a meritorious action, respect to the worthy ones. Then you develop humility, anasana. Humility means the ego you can lower. So humility is a very important quality. Means you try to lower your ego, and slowly, slowly through humility, you eradicate and root it out. Then when you do it mindfully, what do you develop? Sati, mindfulness, anasana. That's why there is so much benefit that comes with bowing, paying respect, and you don't know how to do. And when I develop sati through bowing, it was because I take refuge with Master Xuan Hua in 1986, 40 years ago. What was it, 40 years ago, 86, 90, 2000, 30 years ago. Yeah, 30 years ago, 1986, I remember. He said, to be my disciple, first criteria, 10,000 bow within maximum 3 months. I did it in less than 2 months. Oh. Then I realized the sati came. No? I just bow, have faith. Namo pensi si jia mo ni fo. Then I don't want to know, I just do. Do until the sati come. No? Then I realized, how come? Body and mind as one, no thought. Then everything becomes so different. Then I realized, all my movement, body and mind as one. Then I see things also like that, I hear things also like that, smell also like that, taste also like that, tactile feel also like that. Then when I meditate, no thought, nothing, no movement. Meditation like very simple after that. Oh, because the sati is there. Already stabilized. That's why you must do until sati come, the form of mind will know. Because you experience it like swimming, I try to tell him. When you are in the state of buoyancy, you will know that. You don't need a float to float anymore. What is the float? Method, technique, and skillful means. It assists you to swim, understand? But you don't know how to swim without float, understand? So method, technique, and meditation object is the same. It assists you to train your mind not to be heedless, to be peaceful and calm. That means you experience the calmness like swimming, understand? But you are aided by the meditation object, understand? So swimming also same. You hold on to a float, you also can be a good swimmer, understand? Oh, because you won't sink, and you confidently kick and swim. Because you rely on something. But the real swimming, you cannot understand. Without float, you are dead, understand? Throw you into the sea without float. You panic like anything. That's why meditation is like that. If you depend on the object of meditation, the method and technique, thinking that you hold on to that, you are meditating, you are finished. You will never know what is the real meditation without float. That's why in the Diamond Sutta, what is written? The mind must have no dwelling. It must not dwell anywhere. When you dwell anywhere, it means you are holding on to something. You are holding on to the method, technique, and what is holding? The thought is holding. Understand? The thought is meditating. That's why when you are aware, spacious awareness without a center, the mind got no dwelling. It's just aware. That's why it can understand. Any of the sense door, upon contact, the awareness pick it up. It's there. That's why it can understand many things. It can see things with clarity of mind. You are not limited by the thought, the thinking. You are not lost in thought. You are so beautiful. Your nature shines forth, fully aware. So this is what meditation is all about, when you understand. Okay? So that cover your question. Now I have to go on to the next one. The four right effort and the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought. And with this, I finish the essential Dhamma. Oh, I got half an hour left. Okay, after that you meditate. Okay. I try to finish it all. This my board I can rub. You don't need anymore. You need or not? You need, you better take a shot. Yeah, I'm going to rub. Okay. Now I rub. Let him take. Take a. Those got camera, take a shot. Yeah. Now my Arab, I know which one to rub. Please. Thank you. Oh, is it? Okay, the four right effort, for those who are new, you can listen. What have you learned before you attend this class? What are the four right effort? What is it that you heard of? Noble Eightfold Path got four right effort in there. What is it that you were told? The first right effort is what? Right effort to what? Abandon is there. They are very good at all this. They just tell you this four things. Four right effort. But they don't explain. They say first one is to abandon. The wrong thought, wrong action and wrong speech that has a reason. So this is thought-based, understand not? Understand not? Yeah, you use thought, correct not? That's why when you meditate with effort, thought is involved. That's why the final meditation is effortless. No thought, trust, no doing. Effort is a will, a thought. This is thought-based. That's why the Buddha said you have to start from thought-based to go beyond thought. That's why it has four right effort. First right effort is to abandon the unwholesome thought or the unwholesome speech and action that you have arisen. Means they arise already, like your anger arise already. How do you abandon? How do you abandon? And the worst is what? No, last time, more gullible. They tell you to abandon unwholesome thought, but they never tell you what constitutes unwholesome thought. They always come to my class. Last time I asked them, what is right thought? Oh, the expert in answer, they said, four Brahma Vihara virtue. Metta, which is loving kindness. Then, mudita, karuna, compassion. Then, mudita, sympathetic joy or rejoicing. Then upeka, they think this is the four right thought. I say die. Like that should die. This is what the book says. Right thought is a lot more than this. These are the four Brahma Vihara state, part of the very little bit of right thought. Thought that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion are all right thought. Your thought of generosity is right thought, understand not? Your thought of sincerity is right thought. Contentment, gratitude, goodness of mind, wholesomeness, your gentleness, your pleasantness, your willingness to help people. These are all right thought. All of your virtue are right thought. That's why right thought doesn't limit to that. But what they don't teach you is what are wrong thought. They never tell you what are wrong thought. So now I ask you, what are wrong thought? Those who follow the class, they know. You have to know what is wrong thought, then only you can deal with it. Correct? So what is wrong thought? Thought that condition your negativity means what? Fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, depression, selfishness, emotional negativity, and fear, and delusion. These are all wrong thoughts. So when you live life, when you have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, you have a reason, wrong thought. That's why the use of thought is deluded, because you are not enlightened. That's why you have a lot of suffering. And the best way to deal with wrong thought is, I gave you a very good answer. Whenever you are not peaceful and unhappy or miserable, you have wrong thought. Means the three evil roots are there. That's why I go and trace it. So they have to teach you what is wrong thought, then only you can abandon them. You don't even know that they exist in your mind, then how are you going to abandon them? Like wrong speech, wrong action. At least wrong speech they teach, the four types of wrong speech, inappropriate speech, harsh speech, backbiting, then lying, frivolous speech. At least that one they tell you. But you never apply into life. Noble Eightfold Path, you never apply. This is what you have to do in Noble Eightfold Path, cultivation. The right effort to abandon all the wrong thought that trigger all your fear, worry, anxiety, selfishness, evil root, delusion, and your hindrance. When you see them with mindfulness, you realize that these are all wrong thought. Bring about suffering, negative karma, my nature will fall. That's why I'm not happy, not peaceful. I got fear, I got worry, I got anxiety, I got so much sorrow and lamentation. And that is the teaching. But you never heard about this teaching. You go through suffering without knowing. That's why those in depression, they listen to my sharing. They recover very fast. They come out of it very fast. Because we got a few cases. And one of them, very beautiful, 16 years in depression. She said, yeah, brother, it's only a thought. How come it has such power over me? Then he tell the wrong thought. And now, you have trapped me for 16 years. Have what they call compassion on me. Do not come and disturb me anymore. Straight away abandoned. Gone. Because the understanding, he see the danger. So then he say, she straight away say, the moment it arises, like in Canada, quite a gang. Like seagulls. Straight away abandoned. No need to even reflect or contemplate. Straight away gone. Because he suffer enough. Has gone through enough. He said, last time, that wrong thought, condition you to think until you become like justify why you get angry. How can these people do this to me? I'm going to take revenge. I'm going to do all this. They say in Mandarin, you know. In English is what? John, screw. Miss? Yeah lah. In English, how? Is there a similar word? No translation. No. It's more severe than that. Means you create all the wrong thoughts and make yourself miserable. Understand? You become so deluded and heedless until you keep on doing, blaming others, not knowing that all these problems come from you. If you are mindful, wise, nobody can make you miserable. Understand not? You can only become miserable if you allow yourself to be miserable. You understand that word? You allow yourself through delusion, through stupidity. That's why you think all the wrong thoughts. So now we come to the abandoning. How do you abandon? The Buddha said, let's say anger arises or fear. Anger or fear. How you abandon? This is meditation. No. The Buddha named five ways to abandon unwholesome thought. What are the five ways? Five ways to abandon unwholesome thought or wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. What are the five? First one is what? Think of the opposite wholesome thought. Opposite wholesome thought. These are all in the notes. So now you attentively listen. So when you do that, what happens? Yeah? Like you got anger, you develop metta. When you have loving kindness, you cannot be angry, correct? When you have faith, there is no fear, correct? That's why you straight away, because thought base is like that. You have to shut it off because you know this lead to wrong thought, suffering. You have to abandon it. So the Buddha said, think of the direct opposite, wholesome thought. So when you do that, you become peaceful. But this is not going to solve your problem. No. This is temporary. Why? Every time you got anger, go and do metta. Then the worst is your enemy, how to radiate metta. People you don't like, hate so much, doesn't work. Isn't it? They say, how can I forgive my husband who has done all this to me? Oh, then they use the word last time, honey, now bastard. The bastard did that to me. So you ask her to forgive him. I have seen these people coming to me. You know. Then when I try to explain, I give them answers. I say, ask for forgiveness. He said, ask for forgiveness from that. He used the BS. he cannot. I said, no, not from him. From all beings, whomever, whether knowingly or unknowingly, from the distant past until now that you have caused karmic negativity, suffering or misery. You ask from them. Allah, that can. So this is the first way. You heard of this. The second way is what? Think of the consequence of holding on to that wrong thought. Consequence. When you think of the consequence, means what? If I allow this wrong thought like anger to stay in my mind, my mundane mind, which is in your heart, because this one is the emotion. What will happen to you? Anger is an evil root, isn't it? Root of all evil. Make you evil, make you violent. Make you do all the wrong thing, break the precept, everything. That's why you will abandon it, because you love yourself more. You do not want to allow yourself to become evil through heedlessness, through delusion. Understand or not? Can follow? So this is what the Buddha meant. Contemplate, reflect. These are still thought-based, understand? The third way is what? Page 28, you turn to Hatsutta, page 28. Third one is what? You don't ask me how come relative I don't read the notes, I don't refer, I can remember. I don't remember one. Because this one is all understanding. When you understand, it's like that. You have to remember, there is knowledge, memory. The third way is what? Silent the mind. This is meditation. Understand? Meditation. Just silent. Silent means what? Aware. Understand? Aware means what? Your mind, which is the awareness, and the anger become one. And the anger or fear. Become one. That's why this is sati, understand? Not to go and note anger. Who is noting anger? Thought noting thought, understand? You silent and just be with it. Feel the anger, understand? Like you feel your heartbeat. Feel the anger, feel. Be with it, silent. Don't arise anything. Don't try to know. Stay there. Then what happened? It will cease to be. It will dissipate. That's why the very flowering of that anger or that thought is the very ending of that thought. When it loses its mental energy, the thing that conditioned it to stir and become angry, because you must have think of something through wrong thought. If you don't allow that wrong thought to arise, you're silent and just aware, which is awareness-based meditation, then you realize this anger or fear is condition arising. When condition cease to be, no more wrong thought, it will cease to be. So when you are aware, you don't have thought, correct or not? True or not? When I'm aware, it's before the knowing, no thought. That's why I'm silent. Then, this one cease. Where this is condition arising, the wrong thought there, then only you get angry. That's why you realize this in the meditation, you straight away solve your problem. Anger is not me. Fear is not me. Because they are condition arising. When fear arises and pass away, did I die? I didn't die. Can follow that? Means they are not you. They are condition arising. If they are not you, why do you have to fight them? Why do you have to control anger, control fear? That's why a lot of people may tell you, you must control fear, you must control anger, you must suppress it, you must not allow it to arise. They do a lot of funny things. The moment you fight it, you are gone. Why? You use thought to fight it. Thought give it more mental energy. And before you enlighten or wrong thought, that's why more strong, more powerful. You cannot free. You cannot liberate. Then the fourth way is the most important. What is the fourth way? Trace the origination factor. How to trace? The origination factors. Then retrospectively, reverse it. So this way, you will get the answer, correct or not? How do you trace? That's why you have to develop mindfulness, awareness. The next time you get angry again or fear arise again, straight away reflect and check back. How come it arise? You will be able to trace it back. That's why the Buddha said trace through mindfulness. Then you trace back. Oh, when I see that guy, through memory, I perceive him with negativity. That's why I get angry with him as well. Or I hear that guy saying all this rubbish thing, or insult me, backbite against me. That's why my mind still get angry. Or in the office, you are being insulted and scolded and blamed. People put words in your mouth and accuse you of all the things. That's why you get very upset and very angry. Then anger arises. So it's always through your senses. Means either what you see, what you hear, or through your thought process. When you recall the fearful thing, your child abuse, your phobia, or anything, then there is fear, intense fear. And sometimes when you see something that reminds you through memory, you got intense fear, understand? People whom you don't like, who abuse you before, or your enemy, and other things. So all this is allow you to trace. So when you know that it arises through your senses, then what must you do? How do you retrospectively reverse it? Means you ask yourself, why did I do that? Correct or not? Why did my mind stir and become like that? Means I don't have right thought. Correct or not? These are all wrong thought. Wrong thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, anger, emotional negativity. That's why this must be wrong thought. So what must I do? I must straighten my view. I must not perceive that guy with negativity. I must not, through listening, perceive it with negativity and react. All this come about means what? From where? The ego on the self. Because you think they scold you, they abuse you, they do this to you. And your memory is your recollection of all your mind state. Memory is sanya actually. Thought is respond to memory. That's why all this arises through mental formation, through your accumulated phobia, fear, everything. So all this is what that actually condition you to react this way. So yeah, I know that these are wrong view, means what? I have to learn to see things as they are. So this one is what the Buddha teaches. Learn to see things as they are. So that my mind will not stir. How you do this? sitting as they are, Mesa, to see the truth, the reality. Not according to my mind's views and opinion and conditioning. That's why I don't perceive like before. He may be somebody who is very, very dishonest or unreliable. But how do you know? Over the years, he haven't changed. Sometimes overnight, you also change. That's why you cannot perceive Ling Ming to be that. That's why the Buddha said they are just the way they are. When they are deluded, they will do deluded things. Understand? Huh? When they are selfish, they will do selfish things. When they have emotional negativity, they will be violent. So they are just the way they are. Ah, then I can accept them, understand, huh? At peace. I'm not asking you to agree with them, understand? Huh? Agree with them means what? How can, brother, they did this to me, you know, you ask me to accept them for what they are. Because you cannot see that he is like that because of the evil delusion, like you. You attach, you think you exist, that's why it hurts you. You identify with what he say or what he tell you. Why do you identify? Is the entity you? If it's not you, then how come you can become emotional? That's why Sakyadity, that nut, is not easy to crack. Every time you arise a thought, it's egoic. You don't believe, you go and check. For me or not for me. Then all the selfishness, all the emotional negativity and the fear all arise. Because you actually cling on to this form and mind very strongly, believing that it's you. But everything, every time, every thought you arise is all egoic. With Sakyadity, self-delusion. That's a very difficult to crack that one. Not until you understand this fellow is not you. Through wisdom, through direct seeing, insight, through the universal characteristic. So when you have this understanding, you straighten your view. Yeah, like Brother Teo said, they are just the way they are. Understand? But in the scripture, it only say learn to see things as they are. They never tell you that you have to develop the right view to see it that way. That's why that one come from my own understanding, because I develop it, I share with you, you save so much research and time to go and look for it. Otherwise you come up with a lot of skillful mean like method and technique. Next time I don't want to get angry lah. I know no use one lah. You will root he lah, that one lah. You think that one will root it out? You will never root it out, understand? Huh? Yeah, you actually inside still not happy with him, but you say because it's an evil rule lah, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to end up miserable. Oh, then you say he's like that one. Means what? You're still not happy with him. But when you accept him for what he is, means what? No wonder he's like that. Last time he deluded. He got all the... Actually, I pity him. Oh, then the compassion come out. If only he has the Dhamma, I tell you. He is such a beautiful being. And then you look at him differently. You will laugh and smile. Then you will radiate love and metta. That's why your mind stays different. No more negativity. And this is how you overcome. And this is a permanent fix. Understand? This is wisdom. This is wisdom way. This is meditative, but without the wisdom. Understand not? Means what? Every time you get angry, go and sit. Stay with the anger. Okay, come out again. Then, every time you got fear, go and sit. The Buddha cannot be a Buddha, he's like that. He's at peace everywhere, understand? That's why he learned the fourth way, he can teach you, understand? Now, what is the fifth way? Why he said cleanse your teeth? All these four he teach you also, you cannot do. Take care of yourself. He said, with your teeth, clench and your tongue against the palate. Determined to abandon that wrong thought. How you do it, he don't care. Because you are so useless. All these four you cannot do. You want him to help you. He said you have to use your sure determination. Understand not? Yeah, so we cover everything. Finish. No more. So the fifth way, no need to write. It's in your notes. Okay? And this is meditation. Understand not? Not what people do. When you understand you have to actually write it down, then ask yourself, have I developed this training? Am I doing it in my daily life, all this four right effort? I haven't finished, sorry. First right effort. Okay. First right effort is to abandon. Okay? Let's say you can do it already. You have the understanding already. Then second right effort is what? The Buddha said, prevent the unwholesome thought from arising. How do you do that? You must have mindfulness, isn't it? At the moment the mind want to stir or want to get angry already, then the yoniso manasikara, your wisdom born of this investigation, will straight away come out. He is just the way he is. Finish. The anger subsides. That's how you prevent it from arising. Understand? And you think this one no need to cultivate wisdom. At least contemplative wisdom. Even before you have insight into phenomena, at least the contemplative wisdom will come and rescue you. Then it's up to you. Then the third way is what? The third right effort is what? Develop or cultivate? The wholesome thought or right thought, right speech and right action that are still not in you. So this one, you have to learn and understand what is right thought. That's why I say all of your virtue are right thought. When you think of generosity, contentment, respect, gratitude, kindness, sincerity, gentleness, pleasantness, goodness, leading to harmony, peace. That is right thought. So cultivate more and more of this. Right speech is speak to people gently, pleasantly, with good mind state, so that you do not create misunderstanding, you do not hurt people, you arise the right speech, appropriate speech, kind, gentle, and pleasant speeches that bring about harmony, love, understanding. Give them faith, confidence. Explain to them the truth, the understanding, so that they can come out of it. Show them the way. And those are all right thought, right speech. Then right action means what? Do not violate the precept. Do the ennobler. Instead of killing, help people, relieve suffering. Those in trouble. Nature's disaster, or like what Tzu do. So all this is like you have to cultivate the opposite wholesome thought, which is like instead of stealing, you arise the thought of generosity. Then you act out of it. You act with a heart of sincerity or the right thought. That's why you become very sincere. You don't deceive, you don't cheat, you keep your precept. You become very kind, very loving, have a lot of compassion. Then you do all this action, compassion in action. You really go about cultivating all this. And then you become beautiful. Then the four right effort is very simple. You refine upon it. Understand that? Perfect it. Whatever wholesome thought that you have already developed, refine upon it, perfect it. But in the book, what do they say? Maintain. Like the three generation Chinese family. Maintain, sure gone on. Never go beyond third generation. Cannot maintain. You maintain, you don't progress. That's why you have to refine upon it and perfect it. Until it become a part of you. Until this right thought, right speech, right action become a part of you. And they become so beautiful because you understand them so thoroughly. Okay? Can follow, huh? These are all in the notes, huh? You don't worry. We will come to it. Page 40. 40. 40, this one, four right effort. That's why last time, I remember Brother Song told me, he used to tell all the Kayamita, you forget about other things. You just follow exactly what Brother Teo tell you. It's all in the Heart Sutta note. Anything you don't know, you go there. How he come to know? I never tell him. He himself found out. He realized the whole Heart Sutta note after he understand. is so full of important pointer that can free your mind, can liberate your mind, can transform you completely, the understanding. That's why he keep on telling people, when you meditate silent, don't try to know. Other people also confused, why now he talk like that? Last time different. Oh, last time must do this, must do that. How come Brother Teo teach on all opposite one? He cannot understand until he connect and penetrate. And then all this become like, really? It can be done. And when you understand, they are so clear. The Buddha's teaching is so clear. But how many people can explain all this to you? The problem with today's Dhamma or Buddhist community is you cannot find this type of explanation anymore. You cannot link all this teaching anymore. That's why it's all word, commentary, explaining to you differently. Even the Patijasamupada, they talk about the three lifetime, over three lifespan, not the instantaneous, moment to moment. That's why it's very difficult to penetrate and develop the understanding. Okay, 3 o'clock, you can now start your meditation. Yeah? Then 4:30, I come back. Huh? Yeah, you can rejoice. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. So recommended is 1 hour formal sitting at least, yeah? So that you can really stabilize it. You want to go for a pit stop or break, 5 minutes, take 5, you go. We are too long sitting. Relieve yourself a bit. Then after that, you can walk around, contemplate, reflect, and do whatever you want that can allow you to understand clearer. Okay?